Pero raro.
Después.
Okay, good evening. I wanted to begin with a point that we ended with last week. We had discussed the situation where a person had omitted certain brachos before davening, and the question was whether there was any objection to saying them after davening. In general, we said that no, and if you didn't say the brachas before davening, you could say them after davening. In fact, there's a Ramah that seems to generalize and say that any brachas that you missed before davening can be said after davening. But we did mention that there were seemed to be some exceptions, and we spoke about specifically the question of Elokai Neshama. If you didn't say Elokai Neshama before davening, so that the Mishnah Berurah brought a Machlokas Achronim, if you could say it after davening. The question being whether once you said the bracha of Mechaye HaMesim in Shemona Esrei, does that already include and encompass the idea of the theme of Elokai Neshama? And does that render it that saying Elokai Neshama would already be not warranted with the bracha levatala because you've already said it? We brought a Machlokas Achronim about that. The Mishnah Berurah recommended that in order to be yotzei all the opinions, the best thing would be to have in mind when you get to Shemona Esrei, have in mind that although I'm saying Shemona Esrei now, but I have it specifically in mind not to be yotzei machiyav Elokai Neshama. That's what the Mishnah Berurah recommended. And then we mentioned that the Aruch HaShulchan is mechadesh two other brachas, which if you say them before davening, if you did not say them before davening, you can't say them afterwards. One is the bracha of Anosin Lasech Vivina, because there you're thanking Hashem for that whether it's the heart or the tarnagol has the intelligence to comprehend the difference between day and night. So that there, Chashulchan says, when you said Yotzer HaMa'oros, so you've already included that. The Aruch HaShulchan also said Matir Asurim, that once you've said the bracha of in Shemona Esrei, again, when you say Somech Noflim V'Rofei Cholim Matir Asurim, you said it, you Matir Asurim Shemona Esrei, so you can't say it as a separate bracha. That's what Aruch HaShulchan said. Mishpura doesn't mention that. So I said one of the Sfarim brings down that as far as those two brachas are concerned, so Rav Yashiv was considered the question of saying Matir Asurim, considered that to be a legitimate Suffolk brachas, that he heard the Aruch HaShulchan's position that might be considered already that you've already been yotzi because you said Matir Asurim Shemona Esrei, and therefore he recommended the way it's brought in his name in the Sefer Tziyun HaHalacha, he recommended not saying it after davening al Suffolk brachas lahakel, but Nosin Sech Vivina, that he discounted. So, okay, that's what we said all that last week. So what I wanted to mention is I neglected to bring in a Chuvah's Igros Moshe. I did mention an Igros Moshe regarding the brachas of Berachas and Nesuin, looking at Yotzer Ha'adam and Asher Yotzer Ha'adam. But there is a Mefurish Chuvah on this topic of Elokai Neshama, Matir Asurim, and Anosin Lasech Vivina. And this is in one of the later Chalakim. It's in what's called Chelek Ches, it's Orachayim Hey, the fifth Chelek of Orachayim, Simin Chaf, Os Yud Bey. Simin Chaf is a lot of, is a long tshuva with a lot of different parts to it, meaning he responds to a lot of diverse shilas in Simin Chaf. So this is Os Yud Bey, Orachayim Hey, Simin Chaf, Os Yud Bey. And Ramosha says very definitively, he says that when it comes first, but it says in all three cases, there's nothing to worry about. Even though you've davened already, you've davened Yotzer Maris, davened Shemona Esrei, even if you omitted those brachas, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. There's no reason why you can't say any of those brachas afterwards. As far as the Elokai Neshama, he says that it's even though there it's the Prichadash, Prichadash is from the early Achronim, who raises the Shaila, but the Mishnah Berurah says Igros Moshe says it's Tomua to even Reisha Tzashayla, because clearly the the reference to what was the shaila there? Because we talk about Tchiyas HaMeisim, right? We talk about Tchiyas HaMeisim Shemone Esrei. So that includes the Lakan Shomer. Rashi says really one has nothing to do with the other, because the reference to Tchiyas HaMeisim Shemone Esrei is referring to the ultimate Tchiyas HaMeisim at the time of when we reach the years of Geula. Whereas the bracha of Elokai Neshama is no shaychus to that. It's talking about the fact that a person wakes up in the morning and HaKadosh Baruch Hu restores his neshama, refreshes his neshama, and he can function again, which lasts about a day, and then he goes to sleep again, and sometimes Rashi says something even during the day he needs to go to sleep, and that's a temporary renewal of the neshama. There's nothing to do with Tchiyas HaMeisim, which is going to be a permanent a resurrection of the dead, and it's a soda in Yiddishkeit, and very much like he's very bothered. It's almost like for somebody to feel and to interpret that the bracha of Mechayi HaMeisim Shmona Esrei, that's referring only to the concept that we get up in the morning and we're refreshed. He says that borders on kfira. I mean, he's not ad kidei kach. And he says, and of course, the Pri-Chadosh didn't mean that. He says, no, Shaila, Pri-Chadosh didn't mean that. Pri-Chadosh just felt that even so, once you've spoken about that Tchiyas HaMeisim, that, so then that sort of overshadows the daily Tchiyas HaMeisim. But Ramesh says, it's a Shvera Svara. Don't worry, you don't have to be chadosh for it. And even the Mishnah Berurah's Eitza, that when you get up to the Brach in Shmona Esrei, Mechayi HaMeisim, you can have in mind not to be Yotzer. Ramesh recommends not even doing that. Because if you do that, it's almost like you're opening the door a little for, that's what he says, you're giving a makom of a pischon theft, a kofrim to say, aha, you mean, oh, when the Mechayi HaMeisim, they don't, Tchiyas HaMeisim, Tchiyas HaMeisim, what are you talking about? Whoever heard of such a thing? It means Mechayi HaMeisim, that Hashem, gives you koach to get up in the morning. And he does bring, Rashi brings this, the day in the Rishalmi, that when a person wakes up in the morning, he's supposed to say the bracha, bracha to Hashem, Mechayi HaMeisim. There's such an opinion in Rishalmi. Rishalmi Perek feels the shachar, alach the base Rabbi Yani Amrin Hanor Mishina, so when he wakes up in the morning, Sarach Lomer Baruch Hashem Mechayi HaMeisim. But despite that, there's no question that the Mechayi HaMeisim does not refer to that. And if somebody is going to stop being mechavin, okay, I don't have in mind, I'm having mind not to be Yotzei Elokai Neshama with this. It could blur things, and it could start, leaving room for someone to argue that Chas V'Shalom, that the whole Tchiyas HaMeisim is just a reference, just refers to getting up in the morning, and there's no more to it. So Rav Moshe recommends, don't even do that. Just daven straight. You didn't say L'Kan Hashem before davening? Don't worry about it. Just daven Shemone Esrei as normal, and you'll say L'Kan Hashem afterwards. That's as far as that's concerned. And then as far as the other two Shailas of the Cherech HaShulchan raises, the Nosin Lasech Vivina and Matra Surah, Moshe says, as far as he's concerned, they both have no shaychas. Like he doesn't see any room for the Aruch HaShulchan's Safik, because he says, Nosin Lasech Vivina, first of all, that's talking about the difference, that's talking about dawn, the difference between night and day. Day meaning dawn, the break of dawn, that's when the Tarnagol is making his announcement. He's not waiting for it to get light outside. There's no shaychus to Yotzer Ma'oros, which is referring to when it starts getting light. Yotzer Ma'oros, you're not supposed to say, you're not allowed to say, certainly not supposed to say, before what's called Mishiyakir. Mishiyakir meant Chelas Lelovin, meaning it's one of the big things when people have to get up early in the morning to travel, or some people that during certain times of the year when they work, requires them to daven at a very early minyan. One of the big shalos, okay, so they're waiting for talis and tefillin, but you're not supposed to start birchas yotzer or before mishiyakir. Mishiyakir is the time that you could tell the difference between the blue and the white of the tzitzis, the tchelis and the leaven of the tzitzis. When is that on the clock? It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch when it is on the clock, so different poskim give different suggestions. I mean, it's hard to just go, really, you should just go out and take a look. Now, of course, you have to make sure you're not being, there's no street light, artificial lights or anything that's helping you see. And I know Rabbi Shel this way, and I think that it really depends on the day. On a cloudier day, it's later. On a cloudier day, when it's, it takes longer for the sun to, the rising sun, the rays of the sun that are first beginning to appear over the horizon, takes longer for them to penetrate the earth and give sufficient light for that. And it's going to be later meaning closer to sunrise. It's definitely sometime before sunrise, right? But it's going to be closer to sunrise on a murky, cloudy day. on a foggy day, then it's going to be on a clearer day. So if you have to give a time, so the time that Rav Moshe gave, you know, say L'chumra, and I believe Rav Yashiv also passing around this time, is approximately 35 minutes before Nates. Meaning it's best not to start Yotzer Ma'oros or not to put on Talisman Tefillin, or at least not to make a brach on Talisman Tefillin until when you're within 35 minutes of Neitz Hachama. There are definitely shittas that say it's earlier. There are those, you know, 50 minutes, even some say even an hour. So, you know, there's the shuls that have been early minyanim, and they'll post the time for Mishnah Yakir, which is, you know, what they'll call the earliest Talisman Tefillin. It's usually earlier than 35 minutes before sunrise. It's probably closer to an hour before sunrise, whatever it is. Al Kapanim, getting back here, so that's what Yotzer Ma'oros is referring to. Hashem created the Ma'oros, the sun and the other bodies in the sky that illuminate this world. So that's what that's talking about. No, it's not going on that. It's not going on the difference between day and night, meaning having to do with light. It's going on dawn from you know, night to day, which is the break of dawn. So he says, therefore, there's no shaychus. And the bracha matra asurim also, the matra asurim of Shemona Esrei is not talking about the matra we say in the morning, and the bracha is talking about that Hashem help us stand up in the morning and get out of bed and stand up erect. Whereas, sit up actually. It's okay, you can stand up. Matra asurim is that we're able to sit up in bed. And whereas the matra asurim of Shemona Esrei is talking about that Hashem, if a person who, God forbid, is in bonds, is captive or something. So Hashem is somich noflim, is rofi cholim, is matar asurim. People that are chained up or locked up. Hashem, with His great rachmanis, at a time when the gzeira is over for that person to be suffering in that matzav, he's matar asurim. He says no. One has nothing to do with the other. Nifra Moshe considers to be no shayla.
How does he differentiate between? How does he know that matar asurim by Shemona Esrei is?
Because to Samich Dovlim, Rafi Cholam, you know, it's talking about Hashem is general chassadim to people, and it's not talking about, it's not going a list of things that happen every morning. Matar Asurim, you sat up in bed. That's that bracha we make early in the morning. Here it's.
That was the
break of dawn, the beginning of day. Nothing to do with light. Long before it's light outside, when it's just mamash the crack of dawn. When it's definitely not light. It's also to make a bracha on Talisman Tefillin. You can't say the bracha of Yotzer Ma'oros yet. It's not the zman for Yotzer Ma'oros. Yotzer Ma'oros is going in light, and this has nothing to do with light. So Rav Moshe therefore has no problem. El Ladina, he says, call brachas hashachar tzarich lebrach kol hayom, meaning even after you said Shemona Esrei, you could say all these brachas. So okay, so I'm glad I came across this before we moved on, because we said over Rav Yashiv Shita, which as I mentioned, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't make any mention of a shaila by Matar Asurim or Nosin Sechvina. Those shailas were raised by the Aruch HaShulchan. I'm not aware of any earlier Achronim either discussing it, but we did see that Rav Yashiv was chashish lahalacha at least for the Matar Asurim one. So glad to could share a Moshe Shita, which would be in sync with the Mishnah Berurah that there's no shaila in those two, and in terms of Alakai Neshama, where the Mishnah Berurah does leave it that, you know, either way is in a basically acceptable position. The Rav Moshe also very strongly feels that don't worry about it, and you could say it. You could definitely say it after davening. Okay. Now, so while we're here with these brachas and davening, I wanted to discuss a little bit about saying a bracha later on in davening, like during davening itself, meaning what's the halacha about, can a person say a bracha during Pesukei Dezimra, for example? We know Pesukei Dezimra itself begins with a bracha, Baruch Sha'amar, and ends with a bracha Yishtabach, and therefore when you're in Pesukei Dezimra, you're not allowed to talk stam, you know, extraneous words, you're not allowed to speak during Pesukei Dezimra, even for Dvar Mitzvah. You're not allowed to talk then because you're in the middle of something which is, as I said, it's encompassed, it has a bracha in the beginning, a bracha in the end, and you're in the middle. You're not supposed to be mafsik. The question is, what about for a bracha? Certain things you could be mafsik. And for example, if you're davening, and let's say you're davening a little bit ahead of the tzibur, and then they get up to the kaddish after Rabbi Shmuel Omer, or after Mizmah Shachanu Kazabais, and you've already, you know, you started, you want to be a little bit ahead of things so that you could daven at your own more comfortable pace. So you're definitely allowed to answer during Pesukei Dezimra the main responses of Kaddish. That main response is meaning the first Iskadel Shmei Rabba Amen, that first Amen you could answer. Then Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, you answer. You do not answer Brichu, but you definitely do answer the Amen after the Mira Ba'am of Imru Amen. And then so in other words, so in the first part of the Iker part of the Kaddish, which is like the Chatzi Kaddish, right? The part that said when you only say Chatzi Kaddish, such as before Baruch Hu or after Kriyas HaTorah. So in the Chatzi Kaddish, you could basically answer all the Amens of, as I said, the Mirim Ba'ama and Amen Shmerabah and even Yizkados Kashmira Amen, but not Baruch Hu. What about the Amens on the last lines of Kaddish? That means, let's say, after Rabbi Shmuel, there's three more lines. Al Yisrael V'Rabbanan, then Yehi Shlom HaRabbah and Oseh Shalom. And after the Mizmor Shir, there's just the two lines, Yehi Shlom HaRabbah and Oseh Shalom. So the Mishnah Berurah, I don't believe, says explicitly about that. But Rav Moshe, in a different Shuva, says that you should not answer Amen to Yehi Shlom HaRabbah or Oseh Shalom. Those are not Iker parts of Kaddish. You do not answer Amen during Pesach de Zimra. But after the line of Al Yisrael V'Rabbanan, that you could answer, you should answer Amitu. To make again during Pesach Dezimra, you'd answer Amitu the line of Ali Sofar Rabbanim, but not to Yehi Shlom HaRabbah and not to Oseh Shalom. That's Rav Shita. If happened to be that you're hearing Kaddish Tiskabel and you're in the middle of Pesach Dezimra, which how could that be? Well, it could be like there's two minyanim going on, maybe, and you're davening one minyan, the other minyan's already davening saying Kaddish Tiskabel at the end. So then again, you have three lines at the end: Tiskabel, Yehi Shlom HaRabbah and Oseh Shalom. So you would only answer the Amen to Tiskabel, again the first of those lines, but not the Yehi Shlom HaRabbah and not the Oseh Shalom. Okay, but what about? Okay, so you definitely can answer for that, and you definitely can answer Amen if you hear a bracha. For example, let's say again you're davening, you started ahead of the tzibur, and then the chazan gets up to say brachos. Here it happens only on Shabbos, right? Typically during the week, no one says brachos out loud, but on Shabbos they do. So let's say you are from those that you want to take a little bit longer than the allotted time that the Seber allows for brachos.
Is it like someone's allowed to, or someone's supposed to?
No, once you're allowed to, then you have to. At least if you're in that room. And this I think is Pasha, but I heard this was discussing this person with Rabbi Yashiv. He said, anytime you're allowed to, anything you're allowed to answer, you're mechuyev to answer. But Rabbi Yashiv said, provided you're in the same room. If you hear it from a different room, then you're never chayiv to answer. But you're allowed to if you're not in the middle of davening. But if you're in the middle of davening, you shouldn't. Like, right? So let's say you'd be in this room and they're davening. You davened already. You davened whatever. You daven mincha, certain minyan, and now they're davening mincha. Now you daven at 2 Shabbos afternoon, 2:30 minyan, and you hear they're davening at 5 o'clock. So you come in this room to learn. And you hear brachos and kaddish or whatever. So what Rabbi Yashiv told me, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of different story about this. But I asked Rabbi Yashiv specifically, and he said, when you're in a different room, you're never chayiv. Even if you're not learning, you're never chayiv to answer. You're allowed to answer, but since you're not chayiv, so if you're learning or davening, then don't answer. But if you're not, so you should answer. But if you're in the same room, he said, then anything it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to answer, you're chayiv to answer. Okay, so as I was saying, you're allowed to, and if a chayiv to answer to brachos when you're in the middle of the, you have to, now. It says it should be, the Mishnah Berurah says it should be a mokum de solik in yana, meaning, like, don't answer, try not to answer in the middle of a phrase, whatever, there's phrases all over Pesach HaDezimra. So it doesn't have to be between necessarily at the end of a pasuk, but at least at the end of a phrase. It's called Makom de Salik Inyano, like the end of an inyan, not mamish in the middle of a statement. That you should answer Amen. You would not answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, right? When you're in the middle of Pesach HaDezimra, and the Chazan saying the brachas, you would not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, but you would say Amen. Okay, now the question is, what about you yourself saying a bracha? What would be an example? For example, let's say you had to go out to the restroom, nitzrach l'nekavav, or you had to be osetzrachav in the middle of Pesach HaDezimra, and you come back. So, I mean, you come out, you wash your hands. Should you say Asher Yatzar? In the middle of Pesach HaDezimra, should you say Asher Yatzar, or should you wait? So before we answer that, let's discuss if you would wait, when would you wait till? So, the best place, so to speak, to be mafsik for one that has to, and the best place is after you finished Psukah de Zimra, before, and you said Yishtabach, right? You said Yishtabach before the Kaddish, before the Chazan say Kaddish. At that juncture between Yishtabach and Kaddish is actually the easiest place to be mafsik. It's even if you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to talk stam. It's the first Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to be mafsik there, min astam. But for a Dvar Mitzvah, it says Yesh Omer that you're allowed to. This is Mefurish in Simen Nun Dalet, Simen Nun Dalet Sif Gimel. It says Hamesaper, one who speaks, Ben Yishtabach Liyotzer, after Yishtabach, if any time between Yishtabach and Yotzer, meaning even before the Kaddish, whatever it is, Aveir Hi Biyado, V'Chozer Aleha Me'orche El Melchama. It's something that when they're recruiting troops for Melchamis, you know, from Melcham in the time of when in Eretz Yisrael, when things are done on P Torah. So anybody is a person who has a chait miyado can't go to Melcham. Only people that are naki mechait. So chozer leah. If a person has everything, he's got mamash a perfect record. But they get to the last question on the list. Do you speak between Yishtabach and Yotzer? And they go, I do. No, go home. Chozer leah meyarch Melcham. You can't go out to war. You have that chait. Says the Mechaber, V'yesh Misha Omer, Shalitzar Chet Tzibur, O Lifso Tztaka, L'misha Bolis, Parnes, Menat Tztaka, Mutal Hafsik. Yesh Misha Omer, that for a Tzar Chet Tzibur, a Tzar Chet Mitzvah, which is something for the Tzibur, or Lifso Tztaka, that you'd be allowed to speak them. And the Ramah actually brings, that's why there was a minig in some places, that they would make announcements then. That they're nogeh to the tzibur if somebody had a tzarech, because it was here you have everybody, people in shul, people together, and the communities, you know, is gathered together before davening. Unfortunately, could be like not everybody's there yet, you know, when they start davening. If they're going to wait till after Shemana Esrei, whatever, it could be some people are, you know, have to get to work, and some of the people are already out the door. So the best time is when hopefully by then everybody's come and nobody's left yet. So they would actually make announcements and the communal things of communal import. They would discuss in between Yishtabach and Kaddish. So if we're going to tell you, let's say with Esher Yatzar, those who say, and there are poskim that say to wait and not to say it during Psukah de Zimra, that's when you wait till. They say don't wait till after the entire davening, but you say wait till after Yishtabach. Before Kaddish, you have to be like at least a half a step ahead of the Chazan for that. But you finish your Tavach before answering to Kaddish, means before the Chazan says Kaddish, you would do it then. Or for example, it says, let's say a person, let's say you're a little bit ahead of the Tzibur, you're finishing Psukah de Zimra before the tzibur, and you're gonna have to wait a little bit. So you're supposed to say Yishtabach first, right? You're not supposed to wait after Psukah de Zimra, after Az Yosher, and then just, you know, wait around. Even if you're even you know, quiet, even b'shtika, it's best to say Yishtabach first, and then wait at that point. And you don't normally, again, you're not supposed to talk Chazal Merch Mechama, but even in terms of just waiting, it's better to wait after Yishtabach rather than before. Okay, so so according to those who say not to be mafsik with Asher Yatzar, they say to wait till after Yishtabach. The Mishnah Berurah paskins, not like this, says that you shouldn't wait. You could say it during Yishtabach, preferably bein haprakim, between one perik and another of Psukah de Zimra, but not to wait, because for one thing, it's possible. I mean, it's possible a person may need to relieve himself again. Okay. Unlikely, hopefully it's not like a healthy person. It's extremely unlikely, but you know, within such a short period of time. But don't wait. Mishnah Berurah recommends don't wait. Make the bracha then. Or another example would be, let's say you hear thunder. Now, if you hear thunder, so there you don't really have a choice to wait. Either you say it or you don't say it. But if you wait, once it's past Tochtei Dibur, you can't answer, you can't say the bracha anymore on thunder unless you hear another clap of thunder. But if you hear a clap of thunder, you have only up to Tochtei Dibur, which is enough time to say Shalom Alech Rebbe, or, you know, basically a couple of seconds to say the bracha. Same thing with lightning. Seeing lightning, you only have very short time. So let's say you're davening, and in the unlikely event that you would hear the thunder, probably you're so involved in your davening, you probably wouldn't even notice this thunder outside. But in the event that you did hear the clap of thunder, so then if you're in Pesukah Desimra, then you would answer. They, like I said, you don't have the liberty of waiting. It's either yes or no. So then you would say that. So the Mishnah, as then I said, but the Mishnah says even Asher Yatzar, you should say that. If a person did not have talis and tefillin, talis or tefillin, and he gets it, let's say whatever the case, the person didn't have his talis and tefillin, and they brought him, he started davening because he needs to daven with the tzibur, and he anticipates he's going to get it, maybe his talis and tefillin, maybe he lent it to somebody who's davening, he lent his talis and tefillin for someone's davening first minyan, or maybe he has to borrow from somebody who's finishing up in the first minyan, and in the meantime, he wants to daven with this minyan, so he starts davening, he's in the middle of the tzibur, he's davening without talis and tefillin, so then he's allowed to do it during Pesukah Desimra. When he gets it, he could put them on with the bracha. Again, bein aprakim, wait until he's in between paragraphs there, and then he could make bracha and talis and tefillin.
In any part of Pesukah Desimra, or he has to wait until Shtabach?
No, he doesn't have to wait until Shtabach here, but just it should be, don't you wait, you know, finish a kapitel, finish a parak of, you're saying halukas, whatever, finish one of the prakim in between prakim.
So it's the same if you go to the bathroom, you have to re-put on your tefillin with the bracha?
Right, so finished. If you're in the middle of a parak, finish that parak. But yes, you could put it on. Right.
And can you clarify when do you have to make a bracha if you go to the bathroom?
Okay, so
the talis also.
Okay, so the answer is if you took off your talis to go to the bathroom, and you would not make another bracha when you put it back on, even though it's not appropriate to go in, especially to go into a stall. It's inappropriate, it's improper to go with the talis gadol. We would never do it, but it's not usher mamish min adin. So therefore, taking off your talis for that purpose is not considered a hefsek. Taking it off with the intention of putting it back on, right? Which, of course, you're doing in a middle of davening. It would have to be off for an awfully long time to require a new bracha. So even walking into the bathroom, and even if a person, you know, had to relieve himself, like a gedolim, he still would not make a new bracha on his talis. Tefillin is a different story. Tefillin, he would, if he went to a stall, then he would have to make a new bracha on his tefillin. Now, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is... What Lacha says is that for Gedolim he would, if he was, you know, Yotzil in the cover for Gedolim, then he would have to make a new bracha, but if it's only Ketanim, only to pass water, then he would not have to, because that technically also you could do with your tefillin on, technically, but not in a stall. That's only if you just went, let's say in the old days, just went around the corner to the side of a building or something. Or even now, if you just went to a place where there's only a urinal, like even here, the way the bathroom is set up, if you just went into the front part where there's only a sink and a urinal and there's no stalls, you didn't go beyond the next door, and you passed water, you would not have to make a, you come out, wash your hands, say a shayasar, you know, been a problem, but you would not make a bracha. You put back your talis without a bracha and put back your tefillin without a bracha. Because since you were not in a place where it was shayach for gedolim, the ketanim itself, passing water with ketanim, that itself is not a hefsek. And since it's shayach to, it's not even shayach where you went. It wasn't even shayach to do gedolim, so it's not considered a hefsek. If you went beyond the door into the makom where there's an actual kiseh, you know, basically an actual toilet, where you could do gedolim, then even if you didn't, even if it's just ketanim, then it already is considered a hefsek, and you would make a bracha.
You answered it.
So, I answered it.
Yeah.
Just like a bathroom that doesn't have a separate door for the toilet itself, it just has like the urinals and then it has like the closed four walls, but they're not like fully closed. Does that count as even if you don't go there?
The chara, no, I don't know. You probably would not say still not make a racha. Now, I actually, I'm not going to say the name of who, because it's too many years, and our memories do funny things in us. But I once witnessed. I was in somebody's house in Chicago. And there was an Adam Gadol there, Adam Gadol Ma'od, who was wearing his tefillin, because he wore tefillin not just during davening. And he entered the bathroom. It's in a house, a regular house with a regular bathroom in every house, for ketanim. And he kept his tefillin on. He did not shut the door all the way, though. I noticed that he left the door a bit ajar. So I figured probably because that way... It's not. I made this up. I didn't ask him. But I made this that then it's not shaykh to go for gedolim. He would never go for gedolim with the door without the door being shut and even locked. But at least, you know, shut. The ketanim he did. Ketanim, it's not, you know, whatever. It's not. It's mutter to do it technically in front of people. It's not. I mean, nowadays we're not used to that, but it's mutter. So he closed the door, but he left it a tiny. He left the door ajar, and he went in with his tefillin.
Wow.
Okay. Fits with the understanding. I mean, if I hope you know, maybe correct about this. The fact that he didn't close the door means it's not roy for gedolim, and mainly he was allowed to keep his tefillin on, even though it was a basic yisrael.
Wow.
That's what I'm. That's okay.
Knowledge is power, huh?
What do you say?
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So getting back. So when you put it back, you tell us in the tefillin. If you have to make a bracha on the tefillin, for example, you would do so, but preferably beina prakim. Right. Wait till if you happen to have gone out in the middle of a paragraph. So finish that paragraph first. Say, you know what, you come out, wash your hands, come into the basic. You know, finish that paragraph. Say a shayatzar, then put back your talis and your talis without a bracha, and your tefillin. With or without a bracha, depending on what we just said. Okay. If you finish Psukei Dezimra, you're in Az Yashir, and finally your whoever person comes in, here's the talis and tefillin. Oh, all right, you can put them on now. And you're finishing Az Yashir. So, say Ishtah, if you're a Yachid, not the Shliach Tzibur, you're one of the people davening shul, finish first, finish Az Yashir, and Yishtabach. Say Yishtabach. And then put them on. Don't say them in between Yishtabach, right? Don't put them on and say brachas in between Yishtabach and in between Pesukim and Yishtabach. Say Yishtabach first, like we said, and then put on your talis and tefillin with brachas. If you're the Shliach Tzibur, let's say Shliach Tzibur didn't have his talis and tefillin, then he puts it on before Yishtabach, because it's not right that the Tzibur should wait for him after Yishtabach, or it shouldn't wait for him, and he's better shouldn't be mafsik between Yishtabach and the Kaddish, that he's going to say. So he puts them on before Yishtabach. And by the way, this could happen regularly in the shuls where they...
They do it here when the sun said it's too late, they
sunrise.
Wait until Yishtabach and everyone puts...
Okay, there you go. So according to Shabbos, saying that the Chazan should put it on before Yishtabach, everyone should say Yishtabach and put them on, the Chavan should wait, put them on and then say Yishtabach. And then proceed.
Is it just the brachas you make, or do you just say it first tichli and nothing else?
No, you don't. You would not say those things there. You just say the brachas.
And the same thing if someone goes to the restroom.
Correct. If you're in the middle of the zimra, yeah, in the middle of the zimra or by shtabach, yes, you would say the brachas, and at that point, lachar, you would say baruch shem kol machzolos. If you follow the standard nusach Ashkenaz, that makes two brachas on tefillin, meaning you know brachas shel rosh, and you say baruch shem, so you would say that as well, but not Verestich and not the other Pesukim that you might normally say. Okay. Now if it's after Kaddish already, so then it is like this. Give me just 1 second. Yeah. Okay. After Kaddish, once the Chazan said Kaddish, before Baruch Hu, that has a halacha as if you started Berachas Kriyat Shema and you're in between paragraphs. Now, in other words, the halacha of once you're in Yotzer Ar and Avarabba, in between paragraphs, like after Yotzer HaMa'oros, before Avarabba, or after Avarabba, before Shema, or after the first parak of Shema, first parash of Shema and the second, or the second and the third, that's called Bein HaPrakim, right? Bein HaPrakim means, again, when you're in between sections. So in Birchas Kriyat Shema, in between sections means after you said Baruch Hashem, Yotzer HaMa'oros, you know, the whole first long thing, the first long bracha, which can just Kaddish Kaddish and etc., until you get to Baruch Hashem Yotzer HaMa'oros, before Avarabba, that's called Bein HaPrakim. And again, after Avarabba, before starting Shema, is Bein HaPrakim. After the first parsha of Shema, before Vayom Shema, and after Vayishma, before Vayomer, that's Bein HaPrakim. After that, there's no more Bein HaPrakim. Once you start Vayomer, there's no more Bein HaPrakim in Baruch Shema. But the first place is right after Kaddish, right after Kaddish, before Baruch Hu, you're already considered Bein HaPrakim. You're already in Baruch Shema, you're just Bein HaPrakim. Once you answer to Baruch Hu, you're already considered Be'emtza Perek. It's mamish like you're in the middle a middle of a parasha. Because once you said Baruch Hu, even though you didn't say the first word of Baruch Hashem, you know, Yotzer or Baruch Hashem, but once you answered to Baruch Hu, you're already in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema, and you can't be mafsik for anything that you wouldn't be allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema. So now, if you already answered the Kaddish, and then you got your talis and tefillin, they already said Kaddish, got your talis and tefillin, so you're bein haprakim, it's like you're in Birchas Kriya bein haprakim, you cannot make a bracha on a talis then. You would put it on, but you would wait with the bracha until Esther Shemon Esrei. Tefillin, you can make a bracha. You could make your bracha on tefillin, but not on talis at that point. And when you're be'emtza perek, you don't make a bracha even on tefillin. You wait till bein haprakim.
You still put it on, right?
You put it on, but wait for... In one place, Mishpura says, put it on and wait for the bracha. In one place, he says, wait to put it on till bein haprakim. So...
Why are you allowed to say the beracha a few minutes later?
Because it's a mitzvah that has a hemshech that continues. It's not a mitzvah like we said, separating challah. That once you did it, you did it. The mitzvah's over. Immersing a keli. Once you did it, it's over. This mitzvah, it's as long as you're wearing a talis, you're still doing the mitzvah. If you forgot to make a bracha ever, you could make, as long as you're still wearing it, you hold it, sits, and make a bracha. You fill in, the mitzvah continues. Every second is a fulfillment of the mitzvah.
Isn't the bracha part of the kavana though? When someone makes a bracha, that's the kavana that you need to have a mitzvah. Is that my mistake?
No, I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
Meaning if a person puts on tefillin and doesn't make a bracha, mitzvah
is
kavana, then...
Well, you should have kavana anyway. You could have kavana without the bracha. The bracha helps. You see, the bracha is like makes it kilu yet kavana on a certain level, but that doesn't mean you can't have kavana without the bracha.
Oh, okay.
You should have kavana without the bracha. Right, actually, Chavon, you have Kavana tonight, you know, right. Uh-huh. If there's a mitzvah, but yeah, for sure, if there's a mitzvah, I have Kavana behind the mitzvah, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a mitzvah, it's just ornamental. Okay, so once you've said Kaddish, then it's Ben Seperik, then you don't make a bracha on Talis, only on Tefillin, and once you answer the Baruch Hu, then don't make a bracha on anything until you get to the first Bein HaPrakim, after Yotzei Ma'oros. Now, what I want to point out also, what's very pertinent, and this is Nogea more at Mariv, once you answer to Baruch Hu, Mariv, and you're about to start davening, it's like you're in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema. It's mamish like you're in the middle of a Perek of Kriya Shema. You can't talk. You're in the middle of a conversation, even if you're learning. You're learning the Chavrusa, and your mamish just finished. You just got the last 2 lines of Gemara. You know? And meanwhile, the Chazan getting up there with, oh, you know, Bahur Al-Chum. Oh, come on, let's just quick finish. Let's quick finish. And then I say, Baruch Hu, and you want to, no, you can't finish. Stop. Baruch Hu is a dead stop. You answer the Baruch Hu with the intention of davening. You can't talk. And even Asher Yatzar, even let's say you ran out right before and you went to the rest and you wash your hands and you run in just in time and you didn't say Asher Yatzar yet and they say Baruch and you answer the Baruch Hu with the intention of davening, you can't say Asher Yatzar at that point because you're in the middle of a perek, mamish, so you can't say Asher Yatzar, you have to wait and try to remember to say it after Shemoneh Esrei, but you can't say Asher Yatzar at that point. And you certainly can't continue talking, whether even learning or surely you're just having a conversation with somebody, whatever, which not Bein HaPrakim of Kriya Shema. No, only during Pesukah Dezimra. Even Pesukah Dezimra, we said it was a Shaila. Mishnah Berurah says yes, but not a Bein HaPrakim of...
And Talis also, you can't say Bein HaPrakim of...
No, Talis you wait till after Shemoneh Esrei.
Tefillin is okay.
Tefillin is okay because the tefillin is more of a chiyuv to have them on for Kriya Shema. So, okay. So now, what we've just said, and this is that once you answer the Baruch Hu, you're in the middle of Baruch Hu's Kriya Shema, in the middle of a parak, right? Mamish. So you might say, well, let's say I'm a little bit behind the Pesukah Dezimra in the morning, and I haven't quite finished, and I'm let's say in the middle of Az Yashir. And then the Chazan says Baruch. So he says Kaddish. So I answer. We said before I answer most, you know, the Amens, just not Baruch Hu. But and he says Baruch Hu. I certainly answered the Baruch Hu. But now what? I was in the middle of Az Yashir, and I didn't say Yishtabach yet. So I'm in the middle of Berachas Kriya Shema. Am I stuck? I forfeited the end of my Pesukah Dezimra. So that the Mishnah Berurah says no, explicitly in Simin Nun Dalid Sif Katan. Yudalid. Avalim who osek adayim b'psukah dezimra. If you're still holding a middle, the kol shekainim ba'atel espal. Certainly, if you just walked in and you want a daven keseder and not the sip p'sukah dezimra, yeah, you had intention of having seder, but you answered the baruchu, we're not going to say okay. That's it. You've just signed up for berachas kriyashma, and now you can't talk. No, because if you're in the middle of berachas kriyashma, I mean, I'm sorry, you're in the middle of the zimra, or you haven't said them, and you're planning on sending them, then we don't consider it like you. It's only when you answer the baruchu with the intention of davening now, So then you can't say other things, even though it's some, you know, even lashon yatzer or whatever, wherever it might be. It's brought from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that lechatchila you should have kavanah. You're in the middle of p'sukah dezimra, when you answer the baruchu, you should like be mechab in that I'm answering, but I'm still going back. You know, I don't mean to start berachas kriyashma mamish, and whether that you could say that. But okay, but that much you could do. But otherwise, it's just an important, you know, a perspective that people sometimes lack. That once you've said baruchu, you have started. And I don't mean you're the chab. Not talking about you're the chazan. The chazan like a pashit. The guy's not the chazan. He's just you know, one of the people in Tzibur. Once he said baruch, once he answered the baruchu, he's in the middle of davening and he shouldn't be mafsik. Okay, let's see. Really? Let's see what is something else we could just sneak in here.
When Rabbi says after Shmona Esrei, you mean after your personal Shmona Esrei or after?
No, you could say it after your personal Shmona Esrei, especially if the shliach haven't started yet. But you're not supposed to talk either between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun. But I think something like a Shayat at that point, you could say if you owe an Shayat or something, you know, something like that, you could say. Otherwise, stop to talk. You shouldn't. I mean, of course, you shouldn't talk at all till the davening, but certainly not between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun. But to say a Shayat, if you haven't said it yet, that you could do. Okay, so maybe we'll pause here so that we don't get caught in the middle of Baruch Hu.
I have a related question.